So a bit about myself. I'm married to a lovely lady called Chloe. I've pretty much grown it up in River Church, so you know I'm a product of this church. And I really love Jesus. 28 years old. That's about it. Not much else to say. But I'm really excited about being a Christian at the moment. I've just been really reflecting on just how it is. Like, it's the most lovely faith ever. Yeah. It's just the nicest thing. You know, our job is basically to bring heaven to earth. Okay, so quick question. What is heaven like? So just call out some things. You know, have a think. You know, what is heaven like? What do you see? You know, what's the culture like? You know, all different aspects of it. Just shout out some words.
Light.
It's light.
Joyful.
Peace.
Happy.
Happy. There was another one. Love.
Free.
Holy. Free. Fun. Okay, that's a lot of the emotions in heaven. any other aspects of heaven? Sorry? Spiritual.
Big.
Heaven's big. Sorry? No sickness yet.
Beyond anything I could imagine.
Beyond anything you could imagine. Sorry?
Power.
Lots of gold. Shiny. Sparkly. Probably smells nice. That's true. I never thought about that. I think it probably smells of hot chocolate and croissants. Lots of dancing. Nice trees, yeah. Yeah, not so nice water and rivers.
Without flooding.
Sorry, say again?
Perfect bodies.
Perfect bodies, yeah. Like this one. Humility in abundance.
Joy and laughter.
Joy and laughter. So guys, like, this is our job, basically, is to take all this stuff that we're talking about and bring it to earth. That's a really, really nice thing to do. It's really, really fun. And I think, like, often, like, we can get, you know, really intense, like, about our faith. And if you think about, if you asked, you know, like, Joe Bloggs on the street, if you did a survey and you say, hey, you know, what do you think of Christians? What do you think of the church? I don't think, like, you know, people would necessarily list all those things that we've just listed, right?
Smells nice.
But that should spring to mind when people say, hey, what do you think of Christians? You know, that should be the culture of our church. That is what we're supposed to bring into every area of society. You know, the church is supposed to disciple nations. And so in the same way that we are, you know, to be disciples of Christ, that means our behaviors, our attitudes, you know, all of it is to come into alignment with the way God is, which is all the things that we've listed. So is that, that's God's heart for nations. So there's also other aspects like justice and peace and equality and creativity, you know, that these are some of the things which, like, God wants to establish, like, you know, in all areas of society. So, you know, we have this idea that, like, ministry happens in the church and everyone else kind of, like, comes and serves in the church and funds the church. But actually, like, that idea is, like, so old. And, you know, like, for the past, you know, 5-10 years, I don't know, maybe this isn't right, but basically, like, ministry doesn't happen in the church. The church is the training ground, and the ministry happens out there. God's heart is for heaven to be on earth. Like, so if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, if you're a technician, if you're a care worker, you know, if you're a politician, or if you're a bin man, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, your job is to bring heaven to earth, and it's the most wonderful thing to do. It's fantastic. And, you know, we look at Jesus, and I think, you know, Jesus, like, you know, in River we have we have a set theology. Like, we're open, so we don't really have a set theology. we can believe whatever you want, we're open. but generally the way that kind of, you know, like, as leaders and maybe read the scriptures is that it's Christ-centric, that Christ is the center point on which all theology is, that kind of then functions around. So often what you see in church is you see people reading, like, Paul, and Paul can come across, like, in the New Testament, really, really intense. And then you read Paul, and then you go and read Jesus, and you basically put grumpy, you read Jesus as grumpy because you've read Paul. But actually, Paul should be read through the lens of Jesus. Does that make sense? It might make sense to some of you it won't make sense, that's okay. But like he's the center point. He's the complete, you know, he says, like, you know, the scriptures point to me. You know, he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. You know, he is everything. And what was Jesus like? Jesus was awesome. Jesus was so fun to be with. What was his first miracle, right? And when we think, it's not just Jesus. It's not like Jesus is awesome and like God's scary. I was having this like debate with someone the other day in the pub, and they were like, you know, I really, really like Jesus, but I'm really scared of God. And I was like, no, they're one and the same. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, he says, I only do what I see my Father doing. So when we look at Jesus, we have to say God's like this as well. Okay, so what's Jesus' first miracle? Yeah, he's at a party. It's at a wedding party. They've drunk all the wine. Everyone's hammered. What does he do? Go and make loads more wine. You know, he was accused by like the religious people of being like a drunkard and a glutton. He preaches the kingdom, and what is the kingdom in what does Paul say about the kingdom? Paul says the kingdom is love, righteousness, joy, and peace, and the Holy Spirit. And I just added the love bit in. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Jesus preaches the kingdom. What is the kingdom message? It's like, hey guys, have righteousness, joy, and peace. Those are great things. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Wait. Let's go one after another. Love. Everyone say love.
Love.
Woo. Next.
Joy.
Everyone say joy.
Joy.
Next.
Peace.
Everyone say.
Peace.
Next one. Patience.
Patience.
Come on, guys.
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness. I'm leading this really badly. I recognize that. I'm like, come on, guys. And they're like, what the hell are we supposed to be doing?
Gentleness.
Everyone say gentleness.
Self-control.
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 Just close your eyes and just have a think about all those things that we've just listed. Just imagine what it must feel like to be completely full and saturated with those things, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the ability to be the person that you want to be. This is our faith. This is the gospel. To be a radical disciple of Jesus means to be the, like, radically just the nicest, happiest person around. My great nan used to say about me, Matthew, not you, he's the best boy on 9 streets. She did say that about you as well. But we're to be the most life-filled people on 9 streets. That's why I really like being a Christian, because the more I think about it, just I think this is the nicest possible life to live.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's just so lovely. Why would you want to live any other way? I don't want to stand for misery. I don't want to stand for grumpiness. I don't want to stand for selfishness. I don't want to stand for bitterness or anger. You know, that's a tiring way to live. That is seriously, seriously, it's tiring. Feeling like crap is tiring. It really is. It's just knackering. When you feel happy, it's just like, yay! You know? And that's why Paul says in Corinthians that the battle's for our mind. So we have to battle for these things. So this is point one on my talk, is that actually, you know, God has called, he's asking us to live the most wonderful life. Heaven is the most beautiful place. God is in such a good mood. He's like, the equation's really simple, guys. God is good. Devil is bad. God, good mood. Devil, bad mood. God feels light. Devil feels heavy. So when we encounter God, how do we end up feeling?
Light
and in a good mood. When we encounter the dark side, how do we feel?
Yeah.
It's really simple. But often we get this idea of like Christianity and God just being so intense and so like, rrr. So if we're to be carriers of this, if we're to be carriers of the Holy Spirit, which we all are, if we ought to be carriers of this kingdom, this light, this full of life, then actually it's really, really important that we care for ourselves. Because that's how part of the battle for the mind, I think, is actually caring for ourselves. Paul says in Corinthians, don't abuse yourself because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So for me, in my, you know, if you're driving a car and you're driving along and suddenly smoke starts coming out the bonnet and you're like, what do? You stop and you think, okay, right, let's open the bonnet, see what's going on. Oh, okay, cool, like, we need to stop, definitely stop driving, and we just sort it out, okay? In life, when smoke starts coming out the bonnet, okay, so what does that look like? You start getting really angry, maybe a bit of road rage, your language goes down the pan, or like, you know, you're just feeling like, you know, life smoke is coming out the bonnet. What do we do? Plow on, brother! Just ignore it and pretend there's nothing. Just keep driving that car. We all do it. And I think part of it is, part of this whole self-care thing is really on God's heart, because with the people of Israel, he ingrained rest into their culture. On the seventh day, it said God rested, and the people of Israel were basically commanded to keep the Sabbath day a day of rest. It's not just rest, that's a day of fun. It was a day when they'd eat together, when they'd be in community. It's like God says, it's an order that you will have a day where once a week where you have a great time. It's like a great command. Be with your family, eat, go and do stuff which bring you life. Be energized on the Sabbath day. Ingrained into the culture. It's like we as humanity, we need to like have time out where we care for ourselves. So I think like point number one is life is awesome. If we're struggling to feel awesome, let's take a step back and let's just care for ourselves. Maybe you need to take a look at your diary and think, how can I like create a Sabbath? I mean, it really helped for me and Chloe. My wife is called Chloe. And, you know, we found that Sundays was kind of a day of work, really, because, like, you know, church and stuff is great, but it is, like, it's effort, especially when you're leading. And then if you're working 5 days a week, then you've got Saturday. And on Saturday, you want to sort out things like bills and the chores and go to the supermarket and all that kind of stuff. And then basically you end up, like, not having a proper day of rest. And you think, oh, it's fine. We're New Testament now. We rest in Christ and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, actually, we just found ourselves getting totally wiped. About like a year and a half ago, we went, right, let's just be really aggressive with our rest. And actually, we'll have 1 day a week when we just do things which energize us. And the other stuff, like house stuff and chores and bills or shopping or whatever, we'll do on a Sunday after church, because we'll make Saturday a proper day of rest. And it's really made a huge difference. A lot happier. It's kind of like, I always feel like this, you know, Jesus, he was like God and man. He came to bridge that kind of spiritual humanity, you know, the spirit and the physical. And that we've always got to hold in tension those two dynamics. There's like, yes, there's our belief systems and knowing who we are in Christ. And yes, I'm going to tap into the fact that I am resting in Christ. But then actually, like, there's just the physical that I'm actually just going to rest, you know. And we always have to hold, both are holy things. So yeah, how's everybody doing? Fantastic. The second point that I might like to make today, and these are my only two points, is that it's also totally impossible to be all the things that we've just listed. So we're listing, you know, like the fruits of the Holy Spirit and, you know, just bringing heaven to earth and creating that culture. And, you know, it's totally impossible to do that, by the way, guys. The Christian life is an absolutely impossible call. Does everyone get that? We can kind of like, you know, encourage ourselves in church. Yeah, we can do this. And then Monday and we're like, oh. It's like, Jesus doesn't say pray for the sick. He says heal the sick. The New Testament call is to a completely sin-free existence. Romans 6 is very clear. We're dead to sin. Jesus says, love your enemies. I find it hard to love my family sometimes. It's like, it's ridiculous. The whole thing, it's completely impossible. Guys, I just want to let you in on something. Reaching Slough is impossible. You can't do it. It cannot be done. So what's the solution? Why are we here? Because he's given us the Holy Spirit. And he just makes it, and that makes it possible. Because the Holy Spirit is God. And he's really big and powerful. Which is awesome. And suddenly he makes it possible to work miracles. And to heal the sick. And to live a sin-free existence, and to live a life full of all those wonderful fruits and, you know, behavior and emotional traits that we listed. He makes it possible because he's with us and he's God, and that is amazing. I'd like to read from Acts, if that's okay. So I'm just going to read from the very beginning of Acts 1. The first account, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convicting proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come to him together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is this the time you're restoring the kingdom of to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or epochs, which means kind of seasons in the heavenlies and stuff, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remote parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit comes, and suddenly they receive power. They're empowered to do the impossible, which is to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remote parts of the earth. Now, you guys probably know this anyway. It's probably kind of core to who you are, but I'm really excited about Slough River Church, because in Acts 2, one of the reasons why the church is so successful in spreading around Europe and the world and stuff was because when Peter preaches in Acts 2, day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get saved. It's because people are speaking in tongues, but everyone from all over the world come to Jerusalem to pilgrimage. See, now that is really exciting, because then people go out and the impact for the gospel is like extraordinary. That's the same in Slough. You guys know that, right? And that's one of the most exciting things about having a vision for a multicultural church. I'm so excited about that. So, here's the deal. The whole thing's impossible. You guys want to reach Slough, right? What's the solution? Need the Holy Spirit. So I think what we should do today is we should just pray for the Holy Spirit. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come and, you know, like, the Holy Spirit is just God. And if I was God, I think it was good thinking to send the Holy Spirit. Because I was thinking, right, how am I, God, going to personally meet everybody on the face of the planet? I think, okay, probably should do it in a spiritual way. It's probably the easiest way, you know. It just makes sense. The Holy Spirit, to me, makes sense. It's the only way that you can't appear physically to everyone. You don't necessarily be speaking audibly to everyone. That's quite confusing. But if you presence yourself in a living way with everyone, that everyone can tap into, that everyone connect with, it just makes sense from a global perspective. So I think the Holy Spirit's like, you know, often people kind of like are weirded out by the Holy Spirit, but I just think the Holy Spirit's not weird. The Holy Spirit's just the presence of God. The Holy Spirit's just as weird as Jesus and God is weird, and God are weird, or I'm weird. You know, we're all a bit weird. So I think, I think there's a couple of things. I think the first is that, you know, the Holy Spirit falls in Acts, and that is the birth of the church. But then what happens is that the New Testament, you know, the early church, it wasn't just a one-time baptism of the Holy Spirit. They kept on being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's something to, you know, if you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you've already been filled in the Holy Spirit, there's that kind of sense of, actually, it's not a one-time thing. We all need to be continually being filled. So I think this morning, as we just, you know, ask God to come fill us with the Spirit, I'm going to do the same. It's not like I'm the minister, I'm going to be doing it. It's just something we all need. And the second thing is actually there's a commissioning which needs to happen. I really feel like for this church, the key thing to reach Slough is to be witnesses. It's for that kind of evangelistic drive to be released by the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, there are some people in this room who I think the Lord has commissioned to be evangelists. And I think often we have an unhealthy idea of what that means. It means kind of preaching up the front to thousands. But actually, it's someone who's just kind of thinking constantly, how can I talk to my work colleagues? How can I talk to my friends about Jesus? And you've constantly kind of got that kind of the gospel as your core mental message almost. Some of you guys need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit today. And I think others of you who have been filled in the past or have never been filled, sorry, two things there. If you've never been filled, there's an opportunity to be filled the very presence of God. It's fantastic. But if you have been filled and you're thinking, you know what, I've just got some cobwebs. You know, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling like, you know, just a bit knackered by life. You know, life is crap at times, guys. You know, I know it. Actually, there's that sense of the Holy Spirit comes and he sweeps through it. He's a spring clean, like a fresh breeze through the house when you open up the doors and windows. So I'm excited. So why don't, I don't know, maybe Cora, if you could just like do some padding or something on there, that'd be cool. And I think, you know, the Bible gives us no real way to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes many, many ways. So I think we can just feel free just to give a bit of space and time. You know, if you'd like to just come to the front and kneel and just be before God, just humbly. If you'd like to stay in your seat, if you'd like to stand, if you'd like to pray with the people next to you, you know, just feel free just to, in this time, just to do whatever you want. But let's just give a bit of time just to re-welcoming the presence of God to fill us, to commission us. I think if you feel like you want to respond to that kind of evangelistic call, if you feel like the Lord's calling you to be someone in this church who is to grow the church through leading people to Jesus, then I'd like you to stand now. Please. For everyone else, I'd just like you just to put out your hands, and just to, in your own mind, in your own heart, just say, Holy Spirit, just come, just fill me. I'm your son, I'm your daughter, and I need you. I need your presence. I need you to empower me to live this impossible life. Holy Spirit, we just ask you, come. you right now. I just, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking to some people. You know, Jesus says the Father loves to give us the Holy Spirit. So just be aware of what you might be feeling in your body. You might be feeling heat. You might be feeling like a physical tingling on your hands. You might just be feeling peaceful. Just say more, God. Speaking into just really painful situations, painful memories. I just sense that there's a commissioning taking place. I see that the Holy Spirit is coming, and just as he lands on people, I see this picture of them just shining like bright white, and then saying, "Go and shine." life. Release my light to this community, to your family, in your workplace. In the picture, it kind of just feels like us. But as I looked to the side, and as I looked to the left, and I looked to the right, in the spirit, there's hundreds of thousands being commissioned.
Oh. I'm going to stick my neck out and just say there was three people that stood before as for the evangelistic call. As well as that, is anyone right now got some tingling on their lips? Anyone else end up tingling on your lips? Anyone else just feel a tingling happening in your lips? Oh no, this is just something happening. Maybe it's just me. I don't normally get tingling on the lips. Is anyone feeling that right now? No, doesn't matter. Oh, well, perhaps it's, was it? I just wondered, because it was just as Dave spoke about a commissioning, I just got this tingling and I thought, one of the Lord's callings, because I felt before there are others here that needed to have stood before when for the evangelistic call, and I just wondered if that was the Lord was showing that you're one of those people. But anyway, that's all right. Might be wrong. Been wrong before. They've just said it could well be something about the Lord releasing people's mouths, and not just necessarily evangelistic stuff too. Just to declare him and to praise him. So just, if that happens to you between now, just say, Ian, I just was a bit shy of saying, put my hand up before, or it's fine, come and talk to us later. Thank you, Lord, more. Just remember, nothing disqualifies us. Nothing. If you're thinking right now, oh, I'm not good enough for that, oh, I don't measure up to, I don't, da, 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 da. That's what the cross was about. The cross of Jesus qualifies us for everything that Father wants us to do. You know, and I'm really pleased that David's done this morning, because it's just a reminder again that often the Lord is not in as big a hurry as we are. Some of my biggest encounters with the Lord were in church meetings where we just stopped and took our time and just gave space for the Lord to touch us, and where we just waited, just relaxed, get in as much relaxed mode as you possibly can. And say, Lord, here I am. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome here, Spirit of God. As Dave said before, if you feel like you want to go and pray for someone, just quietly get up and lay hands on them and just gently pray for them. You know, there often always seems to be, I know I'm tempted very often because I don't organize my life very well. When I'm having my quiet time, oh, I've got to get through, read my scripture, got to get through, do this. Actually, we actually do have to make time for him. Actually have to make the choice and make time for him and say yes to that choice. The problem with saying yes to the Lord and making time for him is that we then have to say no to something else. If we want to more than squeeze him into our lives, we actually have to open up spaces in our time that means saying no to something else. That's the hard bit. What am I going to say no to? What is so dang fired important that I can't make time for God in my life? Can't make time for the Holy Spirit and just relax in His presence? Just let Him touch us. Dave said, this Christian life is impossible without it, without Him. So encourage you to make time this week for Him, to touch your life.